open your Bibles at Matthew chapter 8, and just the first few verses of that chapter. It's a passage, I confess, that I've drawn to your attention before now, but I would do so again this evening because it's such a wonderful portion of Scripture, the account of this healing of a man with leprosy. I don't know if any of you have ever known what it is to suffer from a terrible disease or a terrible illness, but one day to receive from your doctor, from those who are treating you, the all clear, or as we sometimes say, a clean bill of health, a clean bill of health. What a day that must have been in your experience to hear the words from the doctor. It's cleared up, you're clean, you're well again. Must be one of, if not the greatest day in your life, and it no doubt probably followed a prolonged period of diagnosis and treatment for that illness. But oh, what a day when you were given the all clear. And yet here we read in these verses of, well, a most wonderful day. I'm prepared to say the most wonderful day in the life of a man who had been ill indeed. And it's the day he personally met the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ cured him of his disease, but not over a prolonged period. It didn't take several visits and an intense time of treatment. No, there and then, immediately, instantly, Jesus made him well. Or to use words that are most appropriate, given the context here, he received a clean bill of health. You know, he's intriguing, this man. He's one of these characters in Scripture. We often come across them. We in one sense, know so little about them. We're introduced to them, and then they're taken away from us. We never read of them again. We don't know the man's name. We don't know any of the background details about him. What we do have is this brief account of the most wonderful day in this man's life. And I want us to consider this event in his life today, Matthew's account of it, because Mark and Luke both also record this incident, the healing of the man with leprosy, in Mark chapter 1 and Luke chapter 5. And I want us to look at this because I think we can draw here many parallels between the experience of this man some 2,000 years ago, this man who went to the Lord Jesus Christ to be healed, to be made clean by him. We can draw parallels between his experience and the experience of sinners who still today, thank God we're still in the day of God's grace, still today you can, go to this same Jesus Christ for the healing, for the cleansing that you so desperately need. Yes, this was a real miracle. It happened. There was a day some 2,000 years ago when this actually happened. This was a real miracle in the physical realm. But it has a spiritual significance. Happenings in the physical realm have spiritual applications, as is often the case with the things that Jesus said, the miracles he performed. Yes, they were physical events, but they have a spiritual application. There are spiritual lessons that we are to learn from them. And I just hope we can learn some of those lessons from this miracle tonight. And I've just got two main sections I'll divide this passage into. Firstly, let's think about the condition of this man. And then, secondly, let's look at the cleansing of this man. Firstly, then, the condition of this man. And I want to keep things ever so simple tonight. And the first thing to say about this man, it seems so obvious, doesn't it? He was sick. He was ill. He was diseased. Verse 2 tells us, Matthew chapter 8, behold, a leper came to Jesus. Now, I don't know what you have in mind when the word leprosy is brought up. Actually, when we read that word in the Bible, it describes a whole host of diseases that affected the skin. And we don't know what particular condition this man had. We can't give a precise name to the disease that he suffered from. We must just use this general term, leprosy. But what we can know, What's important we do realise is that this leprosy, whatever particular form it took, it caused him to be regarded by men and women around and about him, by his friends, his family, his neighbours, his fellow countrymen. It caused him to be regarded as unclean. Notice his request to Jesus later on. It's ever so significant. He doesn't actually say, "Lord, if you will, you can make me well, you can heal me." Verse 2, he says, notice this, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. You can make me clean." You see, this is what mattered most to this man, to be made clean. He was unclean in his current state, and that meant that he could not enjoy the company, the fellowship of people around and about him. Think of his life. It must have been so bleak and so lonely. I don't know if you've ever been to Cornwall. If you have ever been to a place called Roach, there's a rock in Roach Rock, and on top of it there's this little remains of a building, and tradition says that this little building on top of this rock was built for a man with leprosy, and there was just a little window in it that his daughter would take and pass food through to him. That was the life of a leper in Cornwall once, supposedly, and that would have been this man's life. So isolated, so, remember this word, so separated because of his disease. So here he was sick, he was ill, and all this meant he was unclean in the sight of his fellow men. And he wasn't just mildly affected by this disease. Luke actually says in his account, he was a man full of leprosy. Full of leprosy. It wasn't just a little bit of his skin that was affected. He was covered in leprosy. He wasn't just mildly affected. He was greatly affected by this illness. He was unclean. He was most unclean. And those of you who know your Bibles will know that word unclean is a word that the Word of God uses to describe the men and women of this world. Men and women just like you and just like me. All men and women, not just some men and women, all men and women. We read in Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6, it's a verse we often quote, "We have all become like one who is unclean." See, we're not just talking now about a leper some 2,000 years ago. Suddenly we're all being drawn into the picture there in Isaiah's words. "We have all become like one who is unclean." Now, of course, the difference was that the disease that this man had that caused him to be unclean, most around him did not have. He was in the minority in that sense. He did not have this in common with others, this leprosy. But you see, there is a disease, there is an illness that is common to all men and women and young people, and we are each infected with it even when we are born into this world. That's the most sobering thought, isn't it? I know my next few days my wife is going to give birth to a child, and I have to say that that child will be born into this world infected with this disease. It's not so much a physical sickness as a spiritual one, although it does affect the physical. It's not so much a disease of the body as a disease of the soul, although it does affect the body. And we can give a name to this disease, because the Word of God gives a name to it. We can't perhaps be precise about what form of leprosy this man had, but we can be precise when it comes to this disease, this illness of the soul that each one of us has, even as we come into this world, and the name is sin. The Word of God gives this diagnosis. Sin. Sin is the disease that everyone born into this world is infected with. Everyone bar one, that is, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all sinners. We're all sinners. And of course, our sin, though, doesn't necessarily cause us to be regarded as being unclean in the sight of in the sight of other men. No, no, because we're all sinners. We all share this. When men and women, they love the evil deeds. They love the deeds of darkness. Oh, people out there don't think of themselves as being unclean. They don't think of you and me as being unclean. But really, what they think, in a sense, is irrelevant. It's what God thinks of us. It's how God views us. The God we're going to have to stand before one day and give account to. It's how the God who's going to judge us one day. How does he see us? How does he see you? Well, he sees you as one who is unclean. You are unclean. That verse in Isaiah says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Do you realise that's how you appear in the sight of God? God who is holy, God who is pure. Do you realise that even the very best that you can muster up, the very best that you would boast of, it's just filthy rags. It's nothing. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. As I was saying just the other week, we've all missed the mark, and not by a little bit, by a mile, by several miles. Our sin is so very extensive. It's affected every part of our being. Just like this man, Luke says, was full of leprosy, so we are full of sin. It covers us from head to toe. Another verse in Isaiah says, from the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness. We just all sin. We're all sin. There's no soundness. There's no health in us. We're full of this disease. We're so unclean. And the results, the consequences of this, well, you know, just as the unclean in the leper's time were barred from the presence of the clean, so unclean sinners cannot, will not be admitted into the presence of God. You remember I said, remember that word separation, this leper knew separation. Couldn't mix with other people, couldn't mix with the clean. Separation. And that is the consequence of sin. Separation. Not separation from other people, because we're all sinners. Separation from God. The God who made us. We've been separated from him because of our sin. Can't enjoy his company. Can't enjoy his friendship. Can't enjoy his heaven in this unclean state. You ever had gone to someone's house and you know your children have arrived and they've perhaps got muck all over their face, or you're going to send them out somewhere and they're filthy, their shoes are filthy, their clothes are filthy, their face. You say, you can't go in there like that. My friend, you can't go into heaven like you are. Heaven's pure. Heaven's clean. Like nowhere else. You can't go in your current state. You can't go in all your... When the very best you can muster up is just filthy rags, you can't go in like that. That the psalmist says in Psalm 24, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? And the answer is given, only he who has clean hands and a pure heart. And well, that's none of us in our natural condition. In our sinful condition, only he who has clean hands and a pure heart. That's not you and me. In our sin. Not only the clean can mix with a clean God. Only the pure can mix with a pure God. Only the righteous can mix with a righteous God. Only the holy can mix with a holy God. The great Bible commentator Matthew Henry said, sin is the leprosy of the soul. Sin is the leprosy of the soul. It shuts us out from communion with God. You're suffering tonight from the leprosy of the soul, sin. And it's separating you from God. And it's not just that your sin is an offence to God. I preached 2 weeks ago when I preached on flee from the wrath to come. Your sin is not just an offence to him. Your sin provokes his wrath. Your sin will bring upon you his judgment. Because the Bible describes sin as lawlessness. Lawlessness. And lawlessness must be punished, mustn't it? We expect it to be punished in our day and age, don't we? We expect lawlessness to be punished. And we expect it to be punished with a punishment that fits the crime. And let me tell you, so extensive is your sin, so covering the whole of you, so offensive is your sin to a God who is holy, 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 that your punishment will be eternal. It will be ongoing in hell itself. I know the Bible speaks about heaven and people love to turn to those verses, don't they? But the Bible speaks equally clearly about hell, which is the eternal destination of the sinner. Only the clean can go to heaven to be with God, and the unclean will be condemned to hell. So we said that this man was sick. This man was diseased. This man was unclean. So are we. So are you. But also note from these verses, and again, I'm keeping things simple. This man knew it. He knew he was sick. He knew he was diseased. He knew he was unclean. If he didn't, he wouldn't have gone to Jesus, would he? He wouldn't have gone to Jesus and said, "Make me clean." He knew what his condition was. He didn't kid himself that it was somehow different, that somehow things were all right. He admitted that his state was desperate, that he needed help, that he needed to be made clean. And the question I need to ask you this evening, really, is this. Do you know what your condition is? I've just said that we're all sinners, but we're all full of sin, but do you know that? Do you admit that? Do you acknowledge that? Or are you in denial? You know, it's said, isn't it? It's often said of people with alcohol problems or drug problems, and they're in denial. They refuse to accept that they have a problem, even though there is so much evidence of it in their lives, even though every time they look in the mirror, as it were, they can see they have a problem. They can continue to deny it. They're in denial, we say. And there's a lot of people like that. A lot of people like that. They refuse to acknowledge that they are sinners, even though there's so much evidence of it in their lives, in what can be seen and, of course, in what can't be seen, in their thoughts, their lewd and lustful thoughts, and in their language, and in so much else. There's so much evidence, yet they refuse to acknowledge that they're sinners, even though if they were to look in the mirror of God's Word and see what God's holy standards are, what God expects, they would see how they failed time and time and time again. Yet they're in denial. And press, you're in denial tonight. Let me tell you, you can't fool God. You can't fool God. God sees your heart tonight. God sees what I cannot see tonight. He sees your heart. He knows what your heart is like. He knows that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. And so if you say you haven't got a problem with sin, you will not be fooling God. You will not be deceiving him. The only one you're deceiving is yourself. The Bible says that. 1 John 1 verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. And I tell you, that is a very, very dangerous route to take. To deceive yourself on this most important matter. To pretend you haven't got this disease, which you have. Because if you pretend you haven't got it, you will never go to get it healed. Let me ask you, are you in denial? All have sinned. You have sinned. You are unclean in the sight of God. Learn the lesson from this man. He knew it. He knew he was unclean, but also notice, yes, he was sick, he knew he was unclean, but thirdly, he wanted to be made clean. That's why he went to Jesus, isn't it? Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. He didn't want to stay as he was. He knew he was sick. He didn't want to stay sick. He didn't want to stay diseased. He didn't want to stay unclean. He didn't want to stay separated. He wanted to be made clean. And I asked you, can that be said of you tonight? Is there anything in you tonight? Just something that is saying, I want to be made clean. I want to have this desperate disease called sin dealt with in my life. So I tell you, it's possible that you're sitting there and you're saying, well, I've never denied being a sinner. I admit I'm a sinner. I'm not a great person. I've made my mistakes. I've erred. I've strayed. There are people who will say that. Yet they never get farther than that. Yes, they see their sin to an extent. They admit their sin to an extent, but they don't feel it, as it were. They don't feel the loathsomeness of it, the vileness of it. They don't feel the sinfulness of it. They don't feel a desire to be cleansed from it. What about you tonight? Do you want to be made clean? Do you want to have this disease dealt with, or are you content to stay as you are? Yeah, if it was a bodily disease, you'd probably search high and low for a cure. You'd probably remortgage your house if necessary to get the treatment you need. But what about this leprosy of the soul that you're suffering from? This leprosy that can condemn you to hell forever? Don't you want it to be dealt with? Don't you want to be made clean? So I've good news for you tonight. You can be made clean. You can have this disease dealt with. You see, there is a remedy. There is a cure. There is hope for you in your hopeless state. And the one who can deal with you and your disease is the same one who dealt with this leper. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the hope for the hopeless, isn't he? He's the help for the helpless. He's the one who can meet your greatest need tonight, just as he met this man's great need. You see, the God, so offended by sin, has himself sent his son to be the saviour of sinners, the one we preach here week after week. Why do we preach him week after week? Why do we preach the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he's the only hope you've got. He's the only one you can turn to. To have your sin cleansed. To have your hell turned into heaven. Do you want to be made clean? Well, if you do, just consider briefly the cleansing of this man. We looked at the condition of this man, that he was sick. He knew he was sick, but he wanted to be made clean, didn't he? But just look at the cleansing of this man. And the first thing we can say here is he came to Jesus. Verse 2, behold, a leper came to him. He came to Jesus. So simple, isn't it? Yet it's so profound. He came to Jesus. Don't forget those words, will you? That's what you need to do. He came to Jesus. Seems to me as though Matthew here wants to draw our attention to the distinction between what the crowd did and what this man with leprosy did. You notice in verse 1 it says here how great crowds followed Jesus, and then in verse 2 it says, behold, a leper came to Jesus. And I think Matthew is making a distinction there. There were all these crowds following Jesus. And we know many people used to follow Jesus. They were amazed at what he did and said, I used to like witnessing the miracles and listening to the teaching. We know many people used to follow him. Doesn't necessarily mean they believed in him. But then out of that crowd came this leper. He came to Jesus. He came to him personally. He came to him individually. That's what you need to do. It's not enough to be one of the crowd. Or you can come here week after week and you can sit amongst the crowd of Christians that are here and you can sing the hymns and you can listen to the preaching and you can go through all the routine of the service. And perhaps you enjoy it. There are many people who enjoy coming to services like these. But in their heart, they've never come to Jesus. They've never been to Jesus for his cleansing power. They've not been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Perhaps that's you. You're part of the crowd, undoubtedly. But you've never come to Jesus like this leper did. You've never stepped forward in faith like this leper did. But also we must notice how he came. Not just that he came, how he came. He came and he had his right view of himself and his right view of Jesus. We read in verse 2, a leper came to him and knelt before him saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Mark says a leper came to him imploring him, pleading with him, kneeling before him saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Luke says he begged him. You see, this man comes humbly, doesn't he? Falls before Jesus, kneels before Jesus. He's got this right view of himself. He sees himself as a sinner. Doesn't stand up to Jesus, doesn't boast like others did to Jesus. He falls before him. He has this right view of Jesus, Lord. But that's who Jesus is, you know. He's the Lord. Eternal Son of God, Lord, he cries from his prostrate position, Lord, Lord. If you are willing, you can make me clean. You see, he believed, didn't he? You can make me clean. He believed, but he didn't demand. He didn't say, you will make me clean. He said, you can make me clean if you are willing. He realized that he had no rights before God. He had no right to salvation, no right to cleansing. He believed it was possible, and he said, he threw himself on the ground. What was he doing? He was throwing himself on the mercy of God, not on his merits, on God's mercy. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Oh, my friend, there's so much you need to learn from this man. You need to fall, as it were, on your face before the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Not demanding, because you have no right before God, but pleading his mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Seeing yourself for what you are. Seeing him for what he is. Not demanding. Simply pleading. Pleading, not your merits, pleading God's mercy. So he comes to Jesus. He falls before Jesus. He begs Jesus. And then we see Jesus' response. It's so glorious. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, I will. Just like that. I will. I will make you clean. I will make you clean. That must have been music to the ears of this man. He must have wondered what response he was going to get. Here he is, some unclean sinner falling before the eternal Son of God. And the man says, I will. And Jesus says, I will. And I'll tell you, he says the same today. He says the same today to sinners who come to him for cleansing in this way. Humbly, believing, not demanding. He says, I will. In fact, he invites you to come to him. He says, come to me. Come to me, you heavy laden with sin. Come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll make you clean. I'll deal with your sin. Come to me. In fact, actually, Jesus did something before then, didn't he? Even before he said those words to this man, we read something even more glorious. In fact, there were sort of three stages to his response. Even before he got to say, I will, we read, Mark tells us that he was moved with pity. Jesus saw this man and he was moved with pity. He was full of compassion. That's who our Lord Jesus is. Charles Wesley said, Jesus, thou art all compassion.
And that's who he is. He's moved with pity as he sees the plight of this man. Just as he's moved with pity as he sees your plight tonight. You in all your sin. I can tell you he is moved with pity as he looks at you sitting there tonight. And then what did he do? Well, as we read in Matthew, he stretched out his hand and he touched the man. Isn't that amazing? This man hadn't been touched for years, no doubt. No one wanted to touch him. And yet Jesus, so full of love, so full of compassion, so kind, reaches out and touches. Imagine that. Imagine that hand upon that man. Imagine how he felt. The first touch in years. And then he hears the words, I will. I will. I will. And all this points to how willing Jesus is to cleanse sinners. So willing that he came down to this earth from heaven, leaving his place in the glory, humbling himself, becoming a man, living amongst sinful men and women, misunderstood, despised, rejected, going to the cross of Calvary, of his own volition to lay down his life for sinners. That's the compassion of Christ. That's how willing he is to save you tonight. Prepared to die on the cross for that purpose. What more do you want? Our hymn said that. Sinners will not this suffice. What more do you want him to do? The hand that he reached out to this leper to cleanse him would one day be stretched out and nailed to a cross. What more do you want him to do? He's so full of pity, so full of compassion, so full of love. They would allow a nail to be driven through that hand. That he would allow the wrath of God to be poured upon him, though he didn't deserve it. That you might escape from the wrath to come. That you might be made clean. What more do you want? Ask yourself that question. What more do you want? What more do you need? You don't need anything more. Jesus is willing to make you clean tonight. He was willing to make this man clean. And I tell you something more. He is able. He is able to make you clean. Jesus said to this man, I will. I am willing. Be clean. And we read immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Immediately. Just like that. Just like that. He was made clean. So clean that Jesus said, you can now go and show yourself to the priest. Which is what he had to do to be officially declared clean. You can go now. You're clean. Just like that. Yeah, you know, I've said to you before, it's an illustration I know I've used before. It's one thing, isn't it? It's one thing to be willing to do something. It's quite another to be able to do it. I've said to you before, I would gladly come to your house and help you with your electrics. I would help you with your decorating. I would help you with your DIY. I would gladly come and do any of that. I am willing, but I am not able. And you would not want me there. Because it would be a disaster. And it would cost you a great deal to clear up the mess that I made. I'm willing. I'm not able. Jesus is willing. And Jesus is able to make lepers clean. To make sinners clean. We sang earlier, come ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is willing. Doubt no more. I don't know what sins you've committed. Perhaps no one knows what sins you've committed. I don't know what terrible things you thought and said and done in your past. What I do know is it's not beyond the power of Jesus to make you clean tonight. I do know that. As we sometimes sin, his blood can make the foulest clean. I know that. Now, there's a verse in the Bible where God says, in that same book of Isaiah, when God said about us all being unclean and our righteous acts like filthy rags, there's another verse in that same book where the Lord God says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like well, that's true for everyone who comes to Jesus. I don't know what you've been. I don't know what you've done. But I do know that if you should come to Christ with faith like this leper did all those years ago, if you should do that tonight, he can make you clean like that. His blood has cleansing power to make you clean. And so I ask you, do you believe in the Lord Jesus? The promise of the scripture is believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Do you believe? Have you been saved? Have you been cleansed? You're a sinner, do you know that? Let's begin there. Go back to where we started. You are a sinner, do you know that? Or are you in denial, poor fool? You're not deceiving God, you're only deceiving yourself. You have this leprosy of the soul. But even if you do know, do you want to be made clean? Or do you want to stay as you are? A leper in this life to be condemned to hell forever? Have you come to Jesus? Personally? Individually? Realizing your unworthiness. Realizing his greatness. Throwing yourself, as it were, on the floor before him. Pleading not your merits, but only his mercy. Believing, not demanding. Do you know that you've met with the one who is willing and able to make you clean? Charlotte Elliot would say these words about Jesus: just as I am, thou wilt receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Have you come? Believing that he will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief, he will if you come tonight. I plead with you to come tonight. I would beg of you to come tonight. Because he will welcome you. He will pardon you. He will cleanse you. He will relieve you. He is able. He is willing. Doubt no more. Doubt no more. Don't stay in the crowd. Step forward in faith. Come to the Christ. Come to the Christ now. Knowing that he can deal with this disease that you suffer from. He can make you clean. He can take you to heaven. He can do all this for you tonight. Don't stay in the crowd. Come to the Christ. The Christ who cleansed lepers in his day on this earth. And who still today, thank God, cleanses sinners like you and me. Amen.